Good morning, y'all, and welcome to the Breaking Borders podcast. My name is Colby, and I'm going to be the host of this week's episode titled Borders Are Relative. The goal of this podcast is to shine light on different people, places, and ideas that created the many borders of Texas. Not only will we cover physical borders like the mighty Trinity and Red Rivers, but also social and metaphysical borders too. These borders and their effects on the people of Texas helped shape our society and state culture. The author of this week's paper was Ms. Lauren Bickford, who is here with us today to dive in a little deeper on her analysis of this week's readings. Without further ado, Mr. Clayton, would you like to start off with the first question?
Sure. Can you think of an example of a helpful, constructive border or a negative, unproductive border within history and or life?
An unproductive border that exists within history is the border control around the country. It has some positives that come with production, but some people still find their way into the country illegally. There are a lot of positives and negatives of having this border, and they both should be reviewed to determine how productive the border actually is.
Thank you for your question, Clayton. Next question we have is going to be from Connor.
Yeah, so in your paper, you say that once a stereotype is created, it becomes very difficult to change the social border that the stereotype enforces. Do you think that there is a way to eliminate stereotypes, or are there ways to weaken their influence on society?
I think that some stereotypes are here to stay, and there is not really a way to eliminate these stereotypes. In contrast, some of these stereotypes die out over time. The things that are cool and uncool change year after year, and this is what seems to weaken the influence that these social borders have on society.
Good answer, Lauren. Now to my question. Lauren, why do you believe that the author chose to align themselves within the social border of the Pachuco group? Was it because of the group's apparent toughness and street smarts, or do you think that it was something deeper than that?
I think that the author chose to align themselves with the social border of this group because they saw this as a way of survival within this school. The author stated this within the story. Because the author saw aligning himself with this group, he felt safer while attending school and therefore chose to join this group.
Good point, Ms. Lauren. Mr. Kamsey, what's your question going to be, sir?
In your paper, you talk about the importance and the effect that words can have. Why do you believe that words were able to have such a large effect and create borders and divide groups?
The simple answer to this question is that words hurt, and they stick with people for a very long time. The words that you say to people play a huge role in whether or not people want to hang out with certain groups of people, therefore creating these social borders and in return divide the groups.
Thanks for that response, Lauren. I think Katie has a question. Katie?
In your essay, you say, these are just a handful of the social borders that exist in schools even to this day, meaning that you understand social borders like those in the story written decades ago continue today. Why do you think social borders like these are still around?
I think these social borders in school are here to stay around today because that's just how us as humans tend to operate. We tend to become friends with the people that we are most alike and tend to ignore the people that have nothing in common with us. Because we do this, the social borders continue to develop and exist like they have in the past couple of decades.
Great analysis, Lauren. Okay, the next question we got today is going to be from Ms. Shauna.
In your paper, you talk about the sneaky adjectives that can create a larger social border between ethnicities. After all these years as a society, we continue to use words that we know will offend an ethnic group, but we still do it. Do you think that society will be able to change this generational language, or will we always create these social borders because we continue to use these degrading words and or phrases?
I personally believe that we will always create these social borders as a society. These social borders start to develop at such a young age before we even know what is happening because of what the people we are growing up around are saying and doing towards other groups. We get taught these degrading words at a young age, and people will continue to use them for years to come if we don't make a change.
Thanks, Lauren. Now on to Mr. Grant's questions.
How significant is the impact that physical borders have on social borders?
Great question. The physical borders that exist have a huge impact on the social borders that have been created, because the physical borders have a way of separating what people are able to interact with each other. The physical borders add an extra level of separation, which makes a huge impact on the people that they are near to and those that they're far away from.
Now on to Miss Brianna's question, who was unfortunately not able to make it today. In your paper, you stated that there are sneaky adjectives which are used in order to create social borders between different groups of people. Do you believe that these quote-unquote sneaky adjectives can be eliminated by groups of people reclaiming the words so that they do not have negative connotations to them? If so, do you believe this will aid in eliminating social borders?
Yes, I think these sneaky adjectives can be eliminated by groups of people so that they do not have a negative connotation to them. If we just stopped talking bad about people and only spoke kind words to one another, the negative connotations would go away and maybe even start to eliminate social borders that exist between groups today.
Mr. Jack, can we get your question next, please, sir?
Of course, thank you. Do you think these borders talked about in your paper will stay around for the remainder of Texas history?
No. I think that the borders that are created, especially social borders, change as time goes on. And it just depends on what's cool and uncool, like I talked about in another question. So they won't stay around for the remainder of history, but they will still be around for a little bit longer.
All righty. Mr. Zach, you're going to be up next.
So we've talked a lot about stereotypes, and my question just is, do you think that some of these stereotypes are necessary to preserve some kind of group culture?
No, I don't think the stereotypes are required to preserve a group's culture. I think that they just come along with what the group culture seems to be, and the borders that have been created do help keep culture alive, but they are not necessary to be able to keep the culture alive.
Yeah, I actually agree with you there, Miss Lauren. When I was reading the story about the pachinko group within the high school, I noticed that the stereotype about the way that they acted and the clothes that they wear was the exact reason that that group was created. And the reason that the author sought help from that group is because of this image that they put off and the stereotype that was created about them. Last up, we are going to have Miss Adriana's question.
Yes, yeah, so in the beginning, you talked about different types of borders being created. What was the point of overcoming social borders, and what was the impact of the stereotypes you mentioned about?
The impact that was made from these stereotypes are from the story started out how the school was divided. We see these impacts of these stereotypes in movies, TV shows, and I bet we can all agree that we've seen them in our own high school experiences. I think that every single person has some experience, either positive or negative, from stereotypes, and overcoming these social borders is an important thing to do to unite the people, to make the school and life in the world in general to not have these huge social borders.
Alrighty, y'all. That's going to be a wrap for today's Breaking Borders podcast. Tune in with us next week for another paper about, you guessed it, borders.
Our team here at Breaking Borders podcast would like to thank our audience for coming out and asking these questions to our guest author. We would also like to say a special thank you to Dr. Fletcher for providing us with the readings that were featured in this week's podcast. Also, we would like to thank our guest author one more time for being willing to come out and answer these questions on this week's episode. Make sure you tune in every Friday as we will have a different author talking about their take on the borders. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening.